We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, journey with us this Lenten season. Walk with us. Teach us your holy word. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, that your grace, your light, your truth may guide and fill us, that we might live for you and give you the glory in time and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior, amen. Jesus and his disciples were doing what they do every day, walking and talking. They were listening and he was instructing. And yet in our gospel lesson, something happened. They came across a blind man. A blind man from birth, sitting in the corner, probably rattling his cup, asking for a coin or two. I wonder what it would be like to be blind from birth. For us who are sighted, it's sometimes even hard to get rid of light, to go to a place where there's absolutely no light at all. Perhaps you've been in a cave somewhere where they've turned out the lights, and you truly are absorbed in this light, this darkness that has absolutely no light at all. It can make us a little squeamish. Can you imagine what it is to live your whole life if you were that blind all your days? This poor man probably never, ever was able to see the face of his mother or father. He could never see the bright light shining and warming his face in the summer sun. He never saw a bird flying in the blue sky with the snow-capped mountains behind it. All these pictures that just make us go, wow, that is so neat to be able to see. His parents might have described him to him, but I don't have a clue as to what you're saying. Color? What's color? But being blind also made him very dependent. He could not do for himself. He probably had all he could do to just feel his way down the wall to get in that marketplace to be able to rattle his cup. Every day he was probably listening very closely just to make sure someone wasn't sneaking up on him to beat him up and to rob his few coins that he might have gotten. What a hard life. Hopeless life. Sad life. How thankful we are that God has given us eyes that see. What a different life that's given us. But the disciples came up with a theological question at the sight of this blind man. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Did you get their logic? God blesses those who are faithful to him and devout, and he curses, he troubles those who are rebellious and sinful against him. So therefore, if this man's born blind, somebody did something wrong to deserve this kind of hard, miserable life. But then they go to the opposite direction too. We must really be good in God's eyes because look at, we aren't blind or deaf or crippled. God must be pleased with us. We wouldn't fall into that kind of false logic, would we? Or would we? We're Americans. We have the good life. The rest of the world wishes they could have the kind of life we have. Oh, Lord, you must be pretty pleased with us. We must be on good terms, right? Not necessarily. There are a lot of people who are speeding to the dungeons of hell in a Cadillac. The love of this world and all it has to offer. But Jesus surprises them with his answer. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Really? No one sinned to bring this hardship on this poor man, give him such a miserable life? His miserable life is actually a billboard? A billboard for God and his glory? It's going to be a display board of the miracle and mercy of Jesus. One great big huge sign. God sent Jesus to be there at that very moment, to cross paths with this blind beggar. And oh, that changes everything for the blind beggar, and it points directly to who Jesus is. Well, we're praying for Jesus not just to cross our path this Lenten season, but actually to walk with us, blessing us, teaching us, enriching us, leading us ever onward to another Good Friday and Easter celebration. But here Jesus says, this is a billboard, this is a sign. Well, what did he want his disciples then and now to read in this miracle that he's going to perform for this blind man? Well, Jesus tells us. Jesus declared, I am the light of the world. There is no other light. This is the only light. He's either the light or we're in the darkness. One of the two. Jesus is the light of our world, the light of our salvation, the light of truth and grace. There is none other. Can you imagine the ecstasy that this blind beggar had when he went to the pool of Siloam and he washed off this mud pack that Jesus had put on his eyes and the mud streamed down his face, and all of a sudden light streamed into his eyeballs, and for the very first time he was able to see. Can you imagine how wild that would be? I picture him jumping up and down in joy. This is just fantastic. Running home to look for the first time at the face of his mother and father. Telling all of his relatives, I don't have to be a beggar anymore. I can see. What excitement that would bring. He may even stayed up days and days just drinking in, never having enough of looking at the blue skies and the green palm trees and even the fabric of the dirt under his feet, all very fascinating with new eyes and a new wonder. For us to appreciate our light of the world, maybe we need to take a moment and remind ourselves just how blind we were, how deep in the darkness of our sin, with wasted lives and a fearful future we were, so that we truly might appreciate this light that has given us new eyes. We were all born blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. And that puts us in a deep, dark hole of sin, how we're perceiving the world around us, all through sin and darkness and lies. And so when God draws near, our natural reaction in our sinful state is like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Ooh, let's go hide. We're sinners, and our holy God is coming. This does not spell anything good for us. And so we are likely to hide. Imagine that you're in some dark, deep cave under the earth somewhere, and the lights are out. It is absolutely, totally dark and blinding. And all of a sudden you hear a little growl in the corner. Or you hear the bats flying over your head. Or the snakes slithering at your feet. Would you be a little creeped out? Would you want to scream, get me out of here? That's the kind of panic that comes over people who have no faith. How it was for us when we were dead in our transgressions and sins and alienated from God, his enemies, in our dark, deep hole in the ground, drinking the poisoned water with crazed minds to actually think that everything that is wonderful is terrible and everything that's terrible is really wonderful. That all sinful pleasures are great and should be indulged in. And God's truth, his mercy, who he... Oh, that we don't want anything to do with. And that's how the thinking goes for those who are caught in the darkness of unbelief, filled with fear, with no hope, no light, no salvation, only groping in the darkness and waiting for judgment to fall upon them. But that's the whole meaning for our Lenten journey, isn't it? Jesus didn't want this world to remain in the darkness of unbelief and doom. Jesus opened our eyes to his light. Jesus had another miracle for this poor beggar. Notice, they kicked him out of the temple, and Jesus went looking for him. He didn't know what Jesus looked like. But Jesus sought and found him, just as he has sought and found us. And he came to him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. A whole new type of sight. Not only to be able to see the palm trees, but to be able to see the Savior and let his gospel light flood into his eyes and his heart and his soul. And Jesus has done the very same miracle for you and I, for you and me, that he, in our darkness, he would speak his words of gospel. He doesn't come with words of condemnation. He doesn't come with words of threatening. No, he comes and says, "God so loved the world that he sent me to die in your place." Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to say to us, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And the scales of blindness fall off of our eyes. Through that glorious same word, he gives us new eyes, that his light might bounce into us and fill us to overflowing, creating us anew, that we too might declare, "Oh, you are our Savior, the Son of God." And the more we think about that, the more light streams into our hearts and lives. Isn't this the very same Jesus where God said, "This is my Son whom I love"? And now we turn around and watch him crucify him, punish him for the sins of the world. How does that stack up? He so loves us that he's going to take out our punishment on his Son whom he loves? Oh, how he must love us that he's willing to give his one and only Son, his best treasure, that we might be his children. We can never feel unloved because God's love is infinite and eternal, and to go to such extents to make us brothers and sisters with Jesus, there is truly a miracle. A miracle that he would have such love, and a miracle that he would show us that light of his love and grace. Oh. But Jesus declared why he's come into the world. "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Jesus doesn't want us to miss this oddity in this moment. Here we have the blind man who truly does see. And those who supposedly see, the Pharisees, who are so tremendously blind. Oh, they went on and on about how well they knew God's word and were close to God and walked in that light, and yet when it comes to seeing Jesus, they have no time of day for him. Oh, he's obviously not from God because he performed a miracle on the Sabbath. He performed a miracle. Who does this sort of stuff? Oh, no, he did it on the Sabbath. He's a renegade. He's trouble. And so Jesus calls them blind guides. They think they know so much about the word and will of God, and they are blind by their own passions and evil desires. They're still walking in darkness. Where by contrast, here we have this blind beggar who truly does see, not only physically, but sees his Savior and trusts in the Lord and worships him. And that's why we're here to worship our Lord. One of the prayers we have this Lenten season, oh, that we might not be blind guides, all words but no faith, that we might not be just blind Lutherans leading the blind, just making up a religion that serves our own purposes but not trusting in our Lord Jesus. Oh, the whole purpose of our Lenten journey is to see our Savior with ever clearer vision. And so we pray this Lenten journey, open our eyes all the brighter, that we might, that your light might stream into us and we might truly see you in more profound colors, our light of the world. And so we travel to Calvary with eyes wide open both to our sins and to his salvation. This Lenten journey, it's important for us not to shrink back into the darkness of sin in order to protect ourselves. We're going to pretend God doesn't see the bad things we do, but his light beams forth, doesn't it? It shines on every corner and crevice of our lives, and that means it's also going to expose what is not pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. He exposes them not to torment us, but for us to admit them, confess them, repent of them, renounce them, turn away from them, that we might walk in this light and not be dragged into the darkness of unbelief. Our eyes wide open to see what the Lord wants us to see, so that we are not tripped up on our journey, but to have our eyes equally wide open to our Savior and his grace and all that he has done. You know, there's many people who stood under Jesus' cross. Some were Roman soldiers. Their eyes were open. All they saw was a Jewish peasant being executed. Cold indifference. Jesus' disciples saw him being crucified, and they were filled with devastation and fear. Oh, what is to happen to us now? May we not be filled with either one of those, the cold indifference of a Roman or the panicked expression of his disciples, but that we might see who is truly hanging there, our light, our life, the light of this world. He's the one hanging and dying there. He is the one who steps out of the tomb victorious and truly brings light to our lives, to this dark world, the light of salvation. And may that light shine in every corner of our life, in every challenge we have. He truly streams in on every difficulty, frustration, hope, fear, dream that we have, and he makes it captive. Much like coronavirus, the thing everyone's talking about. What are we to make of this? Well, it's wise and good for us to take appropriate precautions. But at the end of the day, we're always in the Savior's hands. We don't need to fear and panic. The Lord knows exactly how to bring us through each trial and trouble. We cast our cares upon him because he so cared for us. Our light is still shining from his throne in heaven and filling us with peace and calm as we commit all things into his care and keeping. Sure, should we do due diligence here in this world? Of course. But our safety, our protection is in his hands. He has always provided all that we need. And so he is our good and gracious Lord, and to him be the glory. As other people are losing their minds and panicking, oh, the Christians who wait on their Lord and put their trust in him and say, nothing is going to happen to me today that my Lord does not have control over. To walk in that light up to the cross, to the empty grave, and rejoice, and to pray, oh, this Lenten season, Lord, open our eyes ever wider to see the glory of your grace, the truth of your word, so that we might, in more profound minds and hearts, see how high and wide and deep your love for each and every one of us is. And in that glorious love, melt us that we might be forever yours. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, you have good and gracious plans for us, plans to guide us ever onward, ever deeper into your word, into your words of love and peace and forgiveness. Help our hearts rejoice, dear Lord, that you are ours and we are yours for time and eternity. In your grace, may we sing your praise with holy fear. In Christ our Savior. Amen.